A Pilgrimage, Part 2. A Visit to Swami Ramanagiri's Samadhi by Dennis Hattel. On the morning of March 8, after our visit to Ramana Mandiram in Madurai, we drove in the van to have a look at Bhagavan's high school. Then all 8 pilgrims piled back into the van for the next destination of our journey, a place sanctified by Swami Ramanagiri during the last 4 years of his life, where his Samadhi shrine tomb has been erected. We made our way through the busy streets of Madurai to the main highway to the north, and after about half an hour, we turned east onto a narrow, paved, tree-lined road that took us to the village of Vadipatti. Through a labyrinth of narrow, unkempt streets, crowded with houses, animals, people, and the occasional parked vehicle or motorcycle, our driver slowly weaved his way through the village and onto another single-lane road, which opened to rice fields and tall coconut trees. 10 more minutes drive down this quiet road, and we saw in front of us the Sirimula Hills, which had first attracted Swami Ramanagiri to this remote location. Then, turning to the right of the road, onto a direct road, we soon came upon a thickly wooded mango grove with branches hanging so low, laden with mangoes, our driver was hesitant to proceed. Kumar Raja told him to park the van, that we would continue on foot, for the Samadhi shrine of Swami Ramanagiri was now only a pleasant 5-minute walk under this vast canopy of the mango orchard. Swami Ramanagiri is not too well known among devotees of Sri Ramana Maharishi. That may be because he had only first come to see Bhagavan in 1949 and did not stay on in Tiruvannamalai after his second visit just before Bhagavan's Mahasamadhi. But these facts have little relevance in estimating the depth of his devotion to Bhagavan and the grace which was extended to him. Swami Ramanagiri's former name was Per Westin, and he was born in 1921 into an affluent family related to the King of Sweden. As a young man, he read Swami Vivekananda's Raja Yoga and immediately was drawn to spiritual practices. In 1945, he received a 2-year fellowship to the Hindu University in Benares to study philosophy, which brought him to India. But his natural interest was the practice of yoga, not philosophy. Not long after he arrived in Benares, he met Sunyata, an illumined Danish man whom Bhagavan had called a natural mystic. He had visited Bhagavan 3 times. Pearl and Sunyata immediately became friends, and during Pearl's first summer vacation from the university, Sunyata invited him to the cool regions of Almora. Sunyata gave him his cave to meditate in and visited him now and then. Pearl never returned to the university. He had known even before coming to India that his purpose in life was to achieve self-realization, not to continue his academic career. Reading spiritual scriptures in Almora created a desire in him to learn Upanishadic lore from a qualified guru. In Benares, he met one such sannyasin, but he would only teach other sannyasins. From this guru, Pearl took initiation into sannyasa and studied the scriptures under his guidance. At the time of initiation, he renounced all his wealth, academic studies, and donned the ochre robe. While on visits to Almora, Sunyata would tell Pearl about Ramana Maharishi and the path of self-inquiry. In January of 1949, Kerr was inspired to make a trip to Tiruvannamalai to visit the Maharishi. He was only 28 at the time, but he had already made rapid progress in his sadhana. Upon arriving at Ramanashramam, Kerr immediately experienced a natural attraction to self-inquiry and wrote to his Banaras guru to inform him of this change in his spiritual practice. His guru wrote back encouraging him, saying that Bhagavan was his true guru and he should follow the teachings he received at Ramanashramam. After 40 days of intensive practice of self-inquiry, in the presence of the Maharishi, Kerr had exalted experience of the self. Sanyata writes that Bhagavan conferred on Kerr the name of Ramanagiri. The Maharishi also gave him a begging bowl that he had himself made from a coconut shell. With this bowl, Bhagavan blessed him with the assurance that thereafter food would always come to him unsought, and it did. After some time, Ramanagiri returned to Almora, but shortly before Bhagavan's Mahasamadhi, he had a premonition and left immediately for Tiruvannamalai. He was there on that eventful day on April 14, 1950, and is seen in the archival film passing before Bhagavan's lifeless body, bowing with folded hands. After Bhagavan's Mahasamadhi, Ramanagiri intended to return to Almora, but was persuaded by a friend to first make a visit to Madras. On the very day of his planned departure for Almora, while strolling through the Theosophical Society in Adyar, he had a vision of Bhagavan, who directed him to go to the beach nearby. He did, sat down, and was immediately absorbed into Samadhi, which went on for some days. Later, he said that in the vision, Bhagavan had given him specific instructions and told him that his only duty now was to abide in the self. Swami Sureshananda, a long-time devotee of Bhagavan from Palghat, soon joined him. Both sat there for a couple of days, unaware of the world. Meanwhile, Ramanagiri's Madras host had been frantically trying to locate him. At that time, a devotee residing in the Theosophical Society had a dream of Bhagavan requesting she prepare food and take it to his two devotees sitting on the beach, which she did. This devotee was none other than the American from California, Eleanor Pauline Noe. No other references to this incident have been found, though it is documented that Miss Noe made a second visit to Bhagavan during his last illness. So it is possible that it was she, editor. Local fishermen built a hut over Ramanagiri to protect him from the hot summer sun. His host eventually found him and began providing him with food. After 2 or 3 months on the beach, Ramanagiri said he had another vision of Bhagavan, who told him to go to Madurai. After traveling there, he roamed in the remote areas north of the city and ultimately settled down near Vadipatti village, about 20 miles north of Madurai. There, in a quiet grove at the foot of the Sirimulai hills, next to a pure, cool water stream, Swami Ramanagiri spent the last 4 years of his life. The intense tapas and neglect he showed to his body must have contributed to the tuberculosis he contracted. At the age of 34 in 1955, in a state of ecstasy, he left his body. This was witnessed by some friends at the Perundurai Sanatorium, where he spent his final days for more than an hour before his death. He was completely withdrawn in a deep meditative state with hair standing on end. At his last moment, he whispered, "Let us go," and left his body in true yogic fashion through the fontanel. In the top of his head, blood was seen to ooze out of a hole there. This is only a brief summary of his noble life, recorded by his friends and inferred from his letters and scant writings. His samadhi is maintained by a trust, and a full-time guard resides at a small temple built over the tomb. This temple is picturesquely located in the middle of a vast 15-acre mango orchard, speckled with large ancient trees. Some of the mango trees are large, with thick branches that spread out horizontally. The whole area is shaded and cool. The water taps provide naturally cooled spring water year-round. A seasonal stream runs alongside it. A 30 by 25 foot mandap has been erected in front of the samadhi entrance. Upon entering the samadhi shrine, a palpable stillness is felt. It is the same deep stillness experienced at the samadhi shrine of Bhagavan, or the peace one feels standing before a genuine sage or jnani. I was told that sometimes a group of Vipassana practitioners have a retreat there for a few days every year. It is a perfect place for the practice of meditation, as one's consciousness naturally becomes clear, still, and begins to sink within. Following footpaths near the samadhi, under the cover of mango and other large trees, we saw a half dozen small shrines with images of different gods and goddesses, all within 75 meters of Swami Ramanagiri Samadhi. These add to the spiritual sanctity and charm of Swami Ramanagiri's memorial. Admirers of his, after his death, constructed these shrines. Who can tell, maybe a century from now, a large temple and spiritual center will arise on this very ground, made sacred by a young, tenaciously earnest foreign devotee of Bhagavan.